Book of Acts tonight is where we're going to start studying, and we're going to look at a few different passages in Acts as we consider Mission Sunday, and then we will take some time to review our week of VBS and to see our part in Great Commission's work, and have an opportunity then to hear from those who worked, hear of different opportunities, and to take some time then to kind of get a visual of what happened last week, and then pray for fruit from that. So that's kind of where our evening is going. It's Mission Sunday. We don't have a visiting speaker in tonight, so we're going to take some time just ourselves to look at one of the ways that the New Testament talks about the spread of the gospel, and that is gospel growth, or the word of the Lord increasing. And then there are just a few of those in the book of Acts, and I want us to look at a few of those and note the references and allow this to even guide us tonight as we think about VBS this past week, and as we look ahead and look forward to our own opportunities for evangelism, as we look at and ponder missions on a worldwide basis, as we think about our own missionaries that we support, whether they are in Nova Scotia or in Puerto Rico or Canada, Mexico, Germany, thinking about a phrase called gospel growth. Gospel growth. Not simply church growth, not simply growth in attendance, but gospel growth as we look at a phrase in the book of Acts where it says the word of God or the word of the Lord increased or grew or multiplied. And allowing God's word to focus us and to refine our prayers so that we would be thinking God's thoughts instead of perhaps good people's thoughts or thoughts that are close but not quite where they ought to be. So Acts chapter 6 is the first place that we're going to note this phrase. Acts chapter 6. And we'll recognize Acts chapter 6 from our study last November and December regarding deacons. And I'm just going to go ahead and start reading in verse 1. And that'll give us the context for the use of the phrase in verse 7. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists rose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. You see the phrase in verse 7, the word of God continued to increase. And that, I think, is a helpful phrase to focus us on where the real advance needs to be. The advance or the goal or the objective is not Bible community church growing. We are simply, if we could put it this way, a cog in God's machine. And the machine is His, and we're a bit part, which doesn't mean we're unimportant. I mean, you know how machines work. If you take out a part, it doesn't work like it's supposed to. So it's not as if we are unimportant, but we are part of something much larger. And the way it's communicated here, even in the church in Jerusalem, it's not the church in Jerusalem that's so important and the focus. It is the word of God continuing to increase. And that results in, at this point in time, the church in Jerusalem growing. But we don't want to get the cart before the horse. What's the context of this? What's going on? Well, we notice that there is a problem in the church. Basically, there's too much work to do for the apostles. And what's encouraging is that this too much work does not stop the increase of the word as others help do that work. And in this case, it is seven men who seem to be at the very least, prototypes of a deacon, if not deacons themselves. When the work is shared by numerous believers, God allows the word to increase. And a consequence of the word increasing is the number of disciples multiplying greatly. It's interesting, it says here, the word of God did not simply increase, but it continued to increase. The word of God continued to increase. If we think back to what we might remember from the early chapters of Acts, Acts chapter 2 tells us that there were 3,000 who came to Christ on Pentecost. As we continue reading chapters 3, 4, and 5, we notice there's another figure given, and that's 5,000. So we have, by Acts chapter 6, a minimum of 8,000 believers there in Jerusalem. Obviously, we're dealing with a particular point in time in God's plan and in God's spread of the gospel that is focused on that gospel multiplying greatly. I don't know exactly how many believers are added around the world on a weekly basis today, but I imagine that as we hear various missionary reports, that there are multiplied thousands who come to Christ all around. But this is back at the beginning. This is the church in that embryonic stage. And what we note is that too much work does not stop the gospel, does not stop the word of God from increasing. And sharing the work seems actually to be almost a catalyst for the word of God continuing to increase. In our own circumstance here, there is much work to do, and there are many people who are available to do it, and there are many people who are doing it. There is a point at which those who are doing the work can really do no more, and others are needed to be a part of that. That is a circumstance that it would be wise for us to consider here at Bible Community Church. Are there those involved who can and should be? We have many people involved. You have a dozen people who are involved here in the book of Acts chapter 6. And they add seven more. People who were ready, people who were available, people who were spiritually mature. And in concert with that, I can't call it cause and effect. I cannot call it cause and effect. But in connection with these men helping to pick up the extra workload, the word of God increases. I would hope that that's our desire for Bible Community Church, that the word of God would increase. As Dan and Paul talked, and I could have mentioned a handful of other men who meet together on a regular basis, and women as well, that's the word of God increasing. That's the word of God being spoken more than just Sunday morning. That's the word of God having influence in our hearts more than it did the week before. That's us giving the word to others, being spread. That sort of situation is found in connection with more believers being involved in, quote-unquote, the mundane stuff of ministry too. Something to be wise for us to consider as we look at Bible Community Church ourselves. Acts chapter 12 is the next place I'd like for us to go. Acts chapter 12 takes us further along the plan of the book of Acts, which Acts 1:8 tells us, the plan that God had for the spread of his word and the spread of the gospel was Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we see Jerusalem being evangelized right there in chapter 2. We see Judea and we see Samaria evangelized, chapters 4 on up to chapter 10, and then when we get to chapter 10, we have something new that takes place, and that is Gentiles are evangelized. And Acts chapter 12 gives us our second recorded Christian martyr. And that is in verse 1. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. We recognize this story. It's when Peter is put in jail, and he is released from jail, and he goes to where the believers are praying, and he knocks on the door, and Rhoda thinks he is Peter's ghost, or the believers tell Rhoda it's Peter's ghost. We know that story. I want us to go down to what happens after that in verse 18. And when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. That journey is down the mountains of Judea, but it is actually traveling northwest, and he goes to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Tells us next in verse 20, now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended upon the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, the voice of a god and not a man. Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But is the first word of verse 24. Not and, but. But the word of God increased and multiplied. In stark contrast to Herod's words being lauded as the words of a god, and then being struck down, and his words being silenced, the word of God increases and multiplies even in the presence of opposition. Even when there is governmental interference. I certainly have no death wish, first of all. I don't have any persecution wish. But I'm not really all that concerned about even our Constitution being violated to the point where we lose our First Amendment right to freedom of religion. Because as I read my Bible, that's not going to stop the word of the Lord from increasing. The fact of the matter is, it might even help it. I don't want it. I'm not going to vote so that things go wrong. I'm not going to try and set it up that way. But I'm not concerned about that. You think about Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. That is a hymn, yes, about how God is a refuge and a rock. But if you, and I'm sure you have, as you pay attention to the verses of that song, his point is that the word of God is going to continue to spread regardless of what any human being is going to do. Because Jesus, Lord Sabaoth, is stronger than any other earthly power. Or demonic power, for that matter. Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear. For God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. Martin Luther knew both official governmental opposition and he knew governmental support. He translates the German New Testament while he's in the official custody of a friendly prince there in Germany. Opposition did not keep the word of God from increasing. As I look at this scenario, I'm reminded of so many psalms that you and I read. The psalmist is very bothered by the enemies of God, and he's concerned that they're going to win and God's justice is going to lose. And particularly in Psalms like 37 or 73, he is distraught that the wicked seem to be prospering, that they seem to be getting their way, just as we look here at Herod killing John, James, and killing James, the brother of John, and then imprisoning Peter, and this does not look like how things are supposed to go. And God breaks in Psalm 37 and Psalm 73, just like he does here. And God is just when we look at it, not at a point in time, but over a period of time. God is just, and God wins, and God is vindicated. And we need to be reminded that even official opposition cannot stop the word of God from increasing. And I want to go next to Acts chapter 19, our final stop tonight in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19 takes us further in our geography away from Jerusalem. We've now escaped, as it were, or left the area of Israel and even the countries neighboring Israel. And by the time we get to Acts chapter 19, the gospel has gone all the way over to Asia Minor, and it is on its way it's already been in Europe, it's going into Greece, and it will eventually get to Rome. But along the way, it's in Ephesus, and Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 11, gives us our final spot tonight to look at the word of God increasing or growing or spreading. It says, verse 19, God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. We don't have governmental interference or opposition here in Acts chapter 19. We have opposition by evil men. Interestingly enough, we don't even really have opposition by evil forces. We have evil men who oppose and who mock and who seek to mimic what God's people are doing. And that does not stop the word of the Lord from increasing. In fact, that actually helps to assist it. In God's providence, there is evil planned. Out of it, God is glorified because the true apostle and the true Savior are magnified and extolled. And what we find here is that even among believers, the word of God increases. It is not that unbelievers brought their magic arts and their means of divination and the paraphernalia that went along with that and burn it. It's not unbelievers who do that. It says in verse 18, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. See, the word of the Lord increasing is not simply for unbelievers. It's for you and me too. The word of God needs more dominion in our lives. You and I both know that there's unconquered territory that the word of God needs to come in, change, root out, and we need to do something that is radical, that doesn't make sense, that in fact costs us. And that is repent and confess of the evil that we still harbor. And for these individuals, it was financially costly. But what are 50,000 pieces of silver compared to the increase and the multiplication of the word of the Lord? Revival starts in the church. revival starts here. Revival starts here when the name of Jesus is extolled. It's interesting. Luke could have used the word glorified. He could have used the word honored. And perhaps our eyes would have just kind of glibly read over it because we're supposed to glorify Jesus. I mean, yeah, everybody knows that. But extolling the name of Jesus, honoring it, that just rolls off too easy. What? Extolling is not a word we use every day. It should mean something. Extolling the name of Jesus means that we can't extol evil at the same time as believers. Extolling the name of Jesus means that we are revived to greater obedience. Extolling the name of Jesus means we are willing to part with whatever is getting in the way of us being genuine, sincere, and true. Revival, the Word of God increasing and prevailing mightily, starts right here. To summarize what we have noted tonight, too much work doesn't keep the gospel from growing. Persecution doesn't keep the gospel from growing. Opposition by evil men does not keep the gospel from growing. You and I are so prone to think that we have to have the right environment for the gospel to grow. We have to think that we have to give the gospel to individuals who are kind of partway on their way to a decent life. We're so prone to think that we have to give the gospel to people who kind of have a number of things all figured out. The gospel is beyond saving those who are totally ignorant of Christ. Obviously, they must be taught. But we think, well, they've got to have so much time kind of in a church setting or being exposed to the gospel. We're so prone to think that you've got to be basically white middle class to get the gospel. I say that's what we believe because primarily, my friends, isn't that how we act? We act on what we believe. We think that if people are too rich, they won't accept the gospel because they trust in their riches. And if people are too poor for the gospel, they won't accept the gospel because they think they're just getting something extra. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. We've got these certain conditions in our mind that we think are fertile soil for the gospel. I mean, if they've got a really liberal political viewpoint, they're really not ready for the gospel yet. That's not what the book of Acts shows us. The book of Acts shows us that the gospel is strong enough on its own to conquer whatever obstacle is put in its way. As God sends his Spirit attending his word and those who are called and those whom God has chosen for repentance respond, but they're not in situations that we think are really very favorable. So that needs to change, that needs to alter, that needs to buoy our confidence in giving the gospel right here in our situation. Whether it's the nice parts of men or the parts that we don't like as much. Whether it's the nice parts of Painesville or the other parts of Painesville. Whether it's Concord Township or the Headlands or Painesville Township, you know, wherever it might be, we need to have the confidence that they had in the book of Acts that the gospel is strong enough that the word of God can increase and prevail mightily on its own as we share it. It seems as though the only thing that keeps the word of the Lord from increasing and prevailing mightily in the book of Acts is when people don't share it. When we keep the seed in the bag, it can't sprout. It won't spread. It won't multiply. So let us take confidence from the book of Acts that the gospel is strong enough on its own to sprout and to grow and to prevail. And let us take God's word for it that we need to share it, and let's pray toward that end. As we think back to this past week, as we hear about this past week, let us pray that the word of God would prevail there. As we look forward to the coming week, as we look forward to July 4th, as we look forward to our own personal opportunities, let us pray that we would be most concerned within our souls with the word of the Lord increasing, and that God would change us and cause us to so believe in the word of the Lord increasing that we would spread that word as a sower spreads seeds. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes to think for a moment on these words. It's Missions Sunday, and we participate in missions by praying, by giving, and we participate in the Great Commission by spreading the word. I encourage you just even now to ask the Lord to give you a biblical mindset from what we have looked at tonight, that your obedience to the Great Commission might be evident, consistent, and in God's timing, fruitful. And then I'll close this time in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, just as we do not want your gospel plucked up by the birds as it is thrown out to unbelievers, so we do not want your word to be plucked up from the hearts of your own tonight as we leave this place. Lord, I pray that you would give us a burning desire for gospel growth that would drive us to our knees, and then it would send us out. I pray that you would do this work starting from the pulpit out, and Lord, I pray that you would cause us in days ahead to hear and to see and to know that your word is not dead, but that your word is above all earthly powers. We would ask that you would do this so that you would be extolled, and we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.